Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. For so many people, the holiday season is filled with joy, cheer, and high-spirited celebration, but it isn't that way for everyone. For some of us, the season is filled with sorrow, mourning, even tears. It is the time when we feel the absence of loved ones who are no longer with us. Some of them are long past. Others passing just this holiday season, making their absence particularly difficult to handle. And what about lost relationships, separations, divorce, or even heartbreak? How do you manage the grief? Well, this is a very important Medical Monday discussion as we help you get through grieving during the holiday season. My guest is Dr. Catherine Marshall Woods, licensed clinical psychologist specializing in grief counseling. If you have a question or comment, if you need some support or information, give us a call right now. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Woods, thank you so much for joining this conversation. We are here yet again.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let me start with this, because I'm kind of struggling with this very issue. A dear friend of mine lost her father last week. Really, really close friend of mine. And right smack dab in the middle of the holiday season. And I am struggling with how best to support her. Because I know she's hurting. I've seen some of her posts on social media and the like. We've been friends for almost 20 years. How do I support someone who is grieving without even being invasive while they're trying to make preparations for services and the like?
It's a very good question. And first of all, I'd like to say sorry to hear about that, and that your friend has lost someone that's close, and that you now are placed in the position to wonder how to support, because as friends and loved ones, we do want to be there for individuals who are grieving. That's part of our role when we care about someone or we love someone, is that we want to be there to be of support. And it is not always easy. Depending on the person and how they are grieving, they may be very receptive to support or they may be very resistant to being supported. Some people prefer to grieve within social circles and in a togetherness, and other people may decide or feel more comfortable grieving in solitude and withdrawing from other individuals. So I think it's really important for a loved one to be able to learn from that person, what is it that they need from them? I mean, some of the things that even we say, for an example, is like, I'm sorry this happened to you, or with my sympathies and so forth, are these wonderful ways to be able to communicate that we care about an individual and we care about what they're feeling and what they're going through. But sometimes just hearing that may be too much for that individual. So reaching out to that person and asking specifically, what is it that they need? And many times you'll hear just a thank you for offering. But I think it's also important for you to also really ask again, what is it that you need? Give me a list of things you need done. Sometimes it's the very little things, like doing a checklist, going grocery shopping for the person, doing the day-to-day things that they may not have the energy to do because they are preparing for funeral services or just needing time to themselves. providing them with the things that they need to have for self-care is very helpful. Mm-hmm. So really just hearing from them what they need and what they're willing to offer you to be able to help them is where to start. Because otherwise it can be intrusive for some individuals based upon how they grieve.
And for those people who are now in the midst of the holiday season, and really we're talking about starting with that big gathering time of Thanksgiving and now Christmas and moving into the new year. We are certainly in the midst of it. Kind of paint a picture for our listeners as to why this is so difficult a time for people who are grieving, whether it is a new experience or someone who has been gone for a long time.
Sure. And I want to highlight, it's difficult to lose a loved one at any time of the year. However, when it comes to the holidays, there is a particular greater sadness and more intense emotions that may come about. And we anticipate it comes about during the holidays. We anticipate it coming about during the anniversary and or that person's birthday or at a specific time where you had an intense experience with the person. So we know that these sorts of feelings can come about throughout the year, and the holidays is just one of those times. And in part, it's because of the holidays are known for gatherings. They're known for spending time with loved ones. The holidays also, at least Christian holidays, come at the close of the year. And so it's a time of reflection, a time of being able to reflect on the past year, the past years, who you are now, who you have been, and who you'd like to become. So there's some level of foreseeing too. And with that is the reflecting on who this person has been in your life, how they've influenced you. And the sad reality is that how they will not be in the same way a part of your future coming up in the new year. And so there's almost a sense of forced or a desire for forced closure when it comes to the holidays in particular, is that how do we, you know, wrap up these end-of-the-year goals so then we can go into the new year with wonderful resolutions and start anew? It's sort of this idea, too, for the holidays, is how do I close the grief, because we don't want to necessarily go into the new year feeling so bereaved and with the bereft that we have. And so I think it's important for people also to keep in mind that grief and bereavement takes time. It changes throughout the course of its process. And we will go into the new year with these feelings and with similar feelings and with some that are resolved. And that we don't need to necessarily feel any stress about closing up this these feelings at the end of the year. And so how do you want to prepare for your holidays with your loved ones in the absence of this person? How do you want to honor this person during the holidays? How do you want to make sure that you remember them during this time? All of these questions are important to go through during these moments of family gatherings of the holidays when we've lost someone.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about grief during the holiday season. How do you manage it? How do you deal with it? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lamont, calling from Germantown. Thanks for calling, Lamont. What's on your mind?
Yeah, great show. I appreciate it. So for me, I'm interned in Iraq, and I was injured, but I'm alive, and I'm 53. I start remembering those who served, and then I start thinking about my loved ones who passed away. And with COVID, on top of what I just told you, I get more emotional, but I'm always telling myself, wow, I wish my grandmother could have seen me now graduate college and my six children who are great grandchildren. And so it just gets me humble because I remember a lot more and appreciate it. And I tell my kids who never met their grandmother or great uncle, you're lucky you have a grandmother. And certain, you know, you got to be blessed. So I'm almost reminding myself and remind people. And I started looking at more pictures during the holidays. And we always expected to be happy. Sometimes we got to let it go, cry. I let my sons lay, hey, I'm a man, but I can still cry. And I'm going to be a man. So I appreciate the show. Keep it up. I'm always listening.
Thank you so much, Lamont. And thank you so much for your service. Happy holidays to you. I wanted to also, you know, ask you, Dr. Woods, how does one prepare for the holidays when you know that perhaps year after year that this may be an issue for you?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think it's important to begin to create a regimen for yourself. If you are aware that these feelings are going to come up and be intense for you and difficult for you during the holidays, I think it's really important for one to be able to think about what has been helpful to be able to get through the holidays with more joy and bliss. Is it that you're with specific friends that you know who can be supportive and who can talk to you year after year about how you're feeling? Do you feel like it's with specific individuals in your life who will go out with you and spend in merriment and check in on you? Is it that you know that you're going to need some time alone, again, for reflection? Do you feel like you'll need time alone for journaling? Do you feel like you need time alone just to take care of yourself? Do you need time alone to honor that person without other people? Do you need a ritual or a tradition to honor the person? And what does that look like? What has felt good to you? What rituals or traditions would you like to change or shift? Is it that you are bringing back something that was important to that individual and you're going to actually enact it for that person? Like maybe this person liked to bake pies. Is that something that you will do to honor that person? What is it that you feel like is going to make sure that this holiday season can be one where you feel like I've included this person within my holidays? They are not gone. They are gone from the space, but they are not gone from my mind. They are not gone from my heart. And how can I make sure that I include them in a way that feels good to me? Not overwhelming and not where it feels like it's an obligation, but one where it feels comforting to you until that feeling no longer is had. And that may last for decades. It may last for your lifetime where you choose to engage in this way to, again, honor this person who has been that significant for you in your life. And then sometimes you'll find that some holidays you won't need this sort of regimen to go through. But I do think it's important for people to be thoughtful regarding what is it that they need in order to feel comforted by this time as much as they can, given the fact that we know these feelings will bubble up to the surface.
Before we get closer to the break, I did want to ask if you had some resources for those who may need some additional help in managing their grief, whether it's grief related to the loss of a loved one or perhaps loss of a relationship or even perhaps, you know, loss of a pet or any kind of situation that may be debilitating for them during this time of year related to mourning and grief. Do you have any resources that you can suggest real quick?
Yes, absolutely. The Wendt Center is a fantastic location that is specific for loss and healing. That's WENDT Center. And I want to highlight losing a pet is just as significant for individuals. That also requires a grieving period. Individual psychotherapy can be helpful if you're already in therapy or already in counseling services. Bringing this to your counselor or therapist can be very helpful. available. There are grief groups available at specific locations like the Wendt Center, but also some people don't want to meet with licensed professionals either. They want more of friends, which is fine, but sometimes they want individuals who they don't know. Going to meetup.com can be helpful, who have grief support groups available there. And lastly, if the loss is based upon a violent crime within the city, at least in D.C., the Crime Victims Compensation Matters, which is located on dccourts.gov, can provide information regarding how to compensate you for therapy services that you may require.
You said it's Crime Victims Compensation?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And where can that be found?
dccourts.gov.
dccourts.gov. DCCourts.gov. And of course, all of these resources that Dr. Woods just shared with us will be posted on our website, as always, after 8:30 tonight. The Wendt Center, meetup.com, and also DCCourts.gov, specifically a crime victims compensation. Patricia, calling from D.C., let's see what you have to say. Be brief, but I'll need you to hang on because we will answer your issue on the other side. What's on your mind, Patricia, quickly?
So I would like some advice on how to render some helpful hands to those friends that's dealing with the manifestation of their grief for bereavement in this holiday season that they're without family and without loved ones and friends, but you want to be supportive, that you don't want to see them in a depressive state or one that is withdrawn from other individuals because of their process that they're going through.
Well, hold that point, Patricia, because we're going to get that answer for you on the other side. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Of course, we'll be answering your phone calls up until 8 o'clock. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. Of course, that's on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, channel 141, 96.3 HD2, the app. Don't forget to download it on your smartphone. We'll continue this conversation in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is our Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about managing grief during the holiday season, whether it is the loss of a loved one, the loss of a relationship, perhaps the loss of a pet. My guest is Dr. Catherine Marshall Woods, a licensed clinical psychologist specializing in grief counseling. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you need support or help, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Patricia is asking one of the things that I asked early in this conversation, Dr. Woods, about how to help friends who may already be in the midst of some heavy grieving right now. Is that correct, Patricia?
Yes.
Yeah. Go right ahead, Dr. Woods.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, if this individual is communicative and they are able to talk to you directly regarding what it is that they need specifically or what they desire, that is a really good place to begin. Where do they feel like they need help within their daily living even? Do they need meals delivered right now? Do they need someone to come to their house and tidy up because they just don't have the energy to be able to do that for themselves? If they don't want to see you doing it, is that hiring a housekeeping service for them to come in once a month to be able to help? What is it that they need? Do they need someone to talk to and listen to them, a shoulder to cry on, literally? Or do they really just desire to be left alone for right now and doing maybe check-ins? Individuals who say they need to be left alone, it can be quite helpful to respect that as well as still check in. And the check-ins don't necessarily have to be ones where you connect with them. I would recommend leaving a voicemail for that person. Text texting that individual, sending them a video clip of yourself just saying, I'm thinking about you and you're here. Something where they don't have to necessarily generate any energy to respond to you, but they also know you're thinking of them can be very helpful, especially for the individuals who like to or prefer to withdraw during this time. So, and lastly, I do want to articulate how best to help them is also how best to help you. There are times when individuals are so overcome by their grief that you begin to worry about your loved ones. You're concerned about them. You may begin to experience symptoms of having difficulty sleeping, maybe being depressed, being anxious and worrying yourself. Making sure that you're taking care of yourself during this time is equally as important, because if and when they are asking you to do things on their behalf, to be supportive of them, it's necessary to be in a good place yourself to be able to give them care that is particular for them and not going to them with some of your griefs and worries that you may have, and making sure that time is specifically for them.
Okay. Patricia, thank you so much. I did want to ask, even outside of the loss of a loved one, and speaking specifically about this holiday season, what about those who perhaps may be mourning the loss of a relationship, whether it is a significant other or it could be a breakup, not the passing of a loved one, but a separation or a divorce or the loss of, a lover or something like that during the holiday season? That may be a different kind of mourning, a different kind of grief. Should you invite that person out to family gatherings or other kinds of social gatherings to distract or get their mind off of those things? Is that something that would be recommended, Dr. Woods?
Yeah, it is, you're right, a different sort of grief. However, depending on the intensity of the relationship and the length of the relationship, the commitment, it can feel like an actual death. Especially divorce, especially being with a significant other, if it was one of a long-term commitment or even a short-term commitment that was intense and meaningful for you. So, yes, I do believe that these endings of relationships should be managed in a similar way, where you're attempting to reach out to this person and be able to learn what it is that they need in order to have the support that they require during this time. Because one thing that happens, whether someone has died or not, is that the end of the relationships can bring about a feeling of loneliness. Especially knowing that this person is still alive and moving on with their life. Potentially in the absence of you in their life. And so now it isn't just the closure is quite different, and it can be very different because we know that this person is, again, still living. They're living their life, and we don't know exactly what they may be doing during this time. So there's a lot of wondering and curiosity that sometimes can play out in various different ways. So an individual who's supporting them, they, want to, again, check in on them and think about how they're gaining closure or if they've gained closure. Are they engaging in maladaptive behaviors, maybe like social media stalking and things of sort that also can play out without that closure happening? And providing them with a distraction is, it can be good, and we also need to think about the distraction is generally a temporary fix. It is not one that's considered long-term for them. Individuals who distract themselves generally need to find multiple distractions to continue to have that become a way to cope. But we, again, hope that distractions are temporary, that hopefully this individual will have or be able to gain closure from the experience, hopefully learn something from the experience of being with that individual, so then they can move forward and no longer feel the grief behind the ending of the relationship, or potentially some of the other positive feelings that come with closing relationships, like liberation and being able to be more mature or more insightful because of that relationship.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about dealing with grief during the holidays. Let's talk to Mary. Mary calling from D.C. Mary, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Mary, are you there? Mary, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Regina, calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. Regina, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I lost my mother. She worked at Howard, matter of fact. Her name was Elaine Powell.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
Her birthday was the 20th of July, and she died on the 26th of July. My sister went in, and my mother never didn't wake up. She did have problems breathing.
Was that this year?
I'm out here, and the thing about it is it's different when it's kind of difficult for me because I have these crying spells. I have people, but I don't have blood family. You understand what I'm saying? And no one really knew her like I knew her, you know, out here in Vegas. So how do I cope with that?
When did you lose your mother? This year?
Yes.
Okay. Our condolences to you. For the loss of your mother. And did you, and I didn't quite get that, were you here when your mother passed?
No, I was here.
You were
my mother was there in the Washington, D.C. area.
I see.
And I was here. So I felt guilt, a guilt trip. You know, why wasn't I there? Or, you know, but we didn't expect her to pass. You understand?
Right. So there are a lot of...
But she would come out here, like, you know, for the winter months, you know, some months she would stay here for, you know, during the cold season there. But I just don't feel, it's like I have these crying spells. I've seen, you know, a physician for it, but it's not the same as if I could have been there. You know what I mean?
Dr. Woods, your suggestion for Regina.
Yeah, Regina, again, I'm so sorry to hear about the loss of your mom. I think that it's, as you're saying, complicated because we're distant during that time. And like you said, you really knew your mom in a way that no one knows your mom there. And so the level of support that you may have where you currently are may be insufficient, or it may feel insufficient for you. This may be a good time to be able to potentially find people within D.C. or within other cities that your mom was in who knew her. It sounds like there may be a desire to be able to connect and fellowship regarding your mom, being able to be around other people who may have stories about her. It may be nice to be able to hear that and hear their experience of her. Are those people available to you in some way? I mean, one thing that unfortunately the pandemic has brought to us is that we are now connecting in so many other ways that isn't just in physical space, and wondering maybe it's time to be able to hopefully reach out to some of those individuals, even if it's via phone or via Zoom or what so have you, to be able to connect so it doesn't feel like you're grieving alone. And I think, you know, that can sometimes be the most difficult part, is grieving alone, as well as knowing that you weren't close to her physically when she died, unfortunately, and coming to terms with how can you be okay with that, and what sort of awareness do you believe that your mother knew about knowing that, I'm sure, if you could have been there, you would have been there. Like you said, you weren't expecting this.
Right. She lived with my sister. And my sister and I, we do communicate, you know, but everyone grieves differently.
That is correct. it is really going to be imperative to find people who you feel like you can grieve in your way with them. Because sometimes being around another person who's grieving and they grieve differently than you do, it almost feels more energy zapping for you. Or you may feel like you need to support them and you're not getting support from that person. So making sure that you have people around you who have the energy and the ability to, again, think about what you need and be able to provide it. And again, that may come from loved ones or it can come from other individuals who you may or may not know. Like I was mentioning before, grief counseling can help. Sometimes a therapist can help with that. Sometimes group grief counseling can be of assistance. Sometimes meeting up with people once in a group can be helpful. It doesn't necessarily have to be long-term treatment or long-term connecting with people. Sometimes going once can be really life-changing as to how you're coping with this situation.
Yeah. Well, Regina, again, our condolences to you, and certainly we wish you, you know, the best health as you move through this process and the loss of your mother. And thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thanks.
I was thinking, Dr. Woods, because Regina said something that is important. Everyone grieves differently. And I know that there are some people, whether it's publicly or privately, I think back to some of the, you know, some of the iconic photographs in American history, when Coretta Scott King, who people talk about the grace that she displayed, after the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But, you know, and that was a public face. And I can't get the image out of my mind. And yet, I think, you know, there is, you know, the reality that some people find that accepting grief in any form is just such a horrible emotion to embrace. And yet others embrace it full on. But do they embrace it full on to get through it? Or do they just let it happen? How would you characterize, the different ways in which people grieve to address it, and this is why I ask, because for me, with the loss of a loved one, I embrace it, don't like it, I address it, I deal with it, but then afterwards, I remember the thing about a person, and I'm talking about the death of someone, I embrace a thing about that person that I loved, and I don't remember the moment that they died, why they died, unless it was something that was tragic or something like that. And that is the thing that when I miss them, I am not sad. I guess... when the initial loss, I feel it, I mourn, I cry, it is horrible, I don't like it, it is painful. But then afterwards, I don't do any of that anymore, no matter what the season happens to be. And that particularly works for me. And I just wonder, are there techniques that would help people address grief in a more healthy way?
Mm-hmm. Right. So one thing, we say about emotions is that we must go through them. we can go through them in various different ways, and it can look different for most individuals. But to try to withhold and try to remain stoic and resist going through the intense emotions generally does not serve us well as humans. What generally ends up happening is that we put those feelings down, we repress them, we suppress them. Some people may even deny them. But they end up coming back up to the surface anyway. And so it's helpful and healthy to be able to acknowledge where you are, that there's going to be some really bad days. There will potentially be tears. For some people, it isn't tears. For some people, it's irritability. For some people, it's anger outbursts. For some people, it's silence. There will be some really bad days, and how you feel will not feel welcomed because it will feel horrible and miserable. When you love someone, losing them, this is what's anticipated. This is what you can expect to feel. And the more you allow yourself to experience that and be okay with that, that this is all part of a process, it's healthy then, or it then leads to the health of being able to mourn fully. And what I mean by mourn fully is that when one thinks about this individual, that they are not pain-stricken by those thoughts. Rather, they may feel a positive sense of remembering them. They may enjoy hearing stories about them, and they may find themselves in tears at times even still, and potentially even tears of laughter when stories or when memories call for that. However, until that process happens, though, it can be very difficult. And individuals who run or try to hide from pain find grieving much more difficult than those who may embrace it.
So how in your practice do you get people to move to a different form of grieving? Let's move from the loss of a loved one to, for example, the loss of a loving, you know, relationship, for example. Is that any easier than the loss than an actual death?
For some people, it really depends, and I'm glad you asked that. For some people, they say it actually can be harder for them to lose someone a relationship rather than someone who has died. We talked a little bit earlier about the fact that the closure process is different. To know that someone is still living can sometimes not feel like the closure an individual needs or prefers to have. They may, again, have levels of curiosity or longing. And I think, you know, that longing comes from death as well as end of relationships, is longing for more time with this person. And for an individual who is still alive, for some, that's still a possibility. That's a potential hope this person may carry, even if that hope is not reciprocated, which could lead to prolonging the grieving process for someone who has lost the relationship, unfortunately. And how we help individuals get through that is being able to use the space and time to be reflective. What is it that you found so appealing and attractive about this individual in your life? And how can you find that somewhere else? That in a relationship that's going to be healthy for you, one that's going to be reciprocal, one where the person is welcoming you within their life. How can we find that in another relationship, or how can we find it in a relationship with something else? sometimes individuals say, you know, I really preferred and loved the fact that we did these activities together. Well, how can you do those activities with other individuals who will enjoy that time and space with you? So it's learning to be able to live independently or live without this individual. And ultimately, that's what grieving is asking us to do, whether it's with a death or the end of a relationship, is being asked upon us, how do we find ways to be able to live without this individual in our lives?
One of the other things that I was able to have to understand just this year as it relates to grief was a dear friend of mine lost a pet. I am not a pet person, never have been. And so my compassion was not for the animal's loss, but was for my friend who lost the pet. I will say that not being a pet person, this was the only animal that had ever been in my house because I'm just not a pet person. But because I love my friend, I allowed, you know, her dog to come into the house. When her dog died, the crushing grief that she felt was so debilitating even to me. And I knew that it was going to be. And I just had to really, again, go back to learning how to be supportive and to dig deep into the pockets of friendship, dig deep into the pockets of loving a friend and understanding the dynamic of where that was, because she knew that I did not wholly understand the connection. But I don't think the thing that I learned is that you don't have to understand pet and pet owner to understand love.
That is correct.
And I think that you, and sometimes, in order to be supportive, it's best sometimes just to just be there and be quiet and listen and not say anything stupid, you know. But you know, one of the love of a pet, for some people, is just as powerful, because pets love unconditionally, unlike human beings, and that is a very, very powerful loss. And the grieving is just on a different level, I think, compared to the loss of a romantic relationship, the loss of a familial relationship. It's just a completely different thing.
Yes, and I want to also articulate, it also feels different because depending on the type of pet, it's also a dependent. Not only do they show unconditional love, this animal is many times 100% dependent on the human to be able to provide them with life. And so not only are they losing this animal that has been able to provide such wonderful, warmth, loving experiences with them, but they're also losing the responsibility that they had to this pet, to take care of them for their well-being, which is also significant and requires adjustment just the same. And so many times people will say, you know, after losing a pet, it's hard to go home because I don't have, you know, food to put down for this pet anymore. I don't have to pick up these things for the pet. I don't have to find a toy or go on our walks together. These can become lifestyle changes for individuals. People rely upon pets many times to be able to help them with their own self-care, like going for walks every day, going for a run with their dogs, for an example. And to lose this animal sometimes also loses ways that they've actually had in place for themselves to take care of themselves.
Okay. Dr. Woods, I only have a little bit of time, and I just got a comment on social media, and I think it's really important that I address it. So this guy is telling me that he is estranged from both of his parents, but they are alive. And he is grieving the loss of his relationship with them. And he is trying to address that. He's mourning the loss of that relationship in the short period of time that we have that. What would you suggest that he do?
Sure. Estranged relationships are, again, similar to death. The question I would have is, would he and or his family want to reunite? And if so, under what conditions? Whether it's during the holiday season or at another time, what could that possibly look like if that is a desire? And how that could happen if that is a desire. Now, if that isn't a desire on anyone's part, then how can this person make peace with the idea that this is an ending? Why is it an ending? What has happened for it to be an ending? Does this ending signify that it's a healthy choice not to be connected or close to these individuals for them at this time? And even though it is a loss and one may feel lonely and upset by the closure, it is not what someone may have really wanted in the end. Is this choice okay enough for today to sustain for one's health?
Yeah. And sometimes, particularly when you're talking about family issues, somebody has to be big enough to acquiesce.
Yes.
Yeah.
And compromise, meaning two people coming to, or two groups coming to the table, and neither one gets exactly what they want, but they're willing to sacrifice some of those things in order to make the relationship move forward together.
Yeah. Well, as always, Dr. Catherine Marshall Woods, it is always, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for being a part of the discussion.
You're welcome, and happy holidays.
You too. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, December 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.